You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za. There we go, Tracy North. I certainly hope you enjoyed that song. 80s and upbeat is what you were looking for, and that's what you got. Dexy's Midnight Runners and Come On Eileen. Welcome to Zone Radio, Tracy. Nice to have you on board. And if running were an option, I probably would be running right now, but here I am, and I certainly don't have the choice of leaving. I have to endure what I'm about to endure. Hello, Jeff.
Hello. It's okay. You can walk away. It's fine. You'll walk away.
At my age, walking is probably
I know. I'm all with that Zimmer frame in front of you.
No. At my age, running away is not an option. Definitely not an option. How are you, Jeffrey Ernest Kahn?
I'm excellent. Thank you very much for asking. And you're looking fantastic today. Have you had a facial, or what is it that's happened? Yeah, I don't know. The steely blues and a facial, I think. I don't know, but you're looking quite sharp today, I must say. Playing some nice music and quite sharp with the tongue as well.
So, and your point is?
I have no point at all.
As usual. Okay.
Here we go.
So we're talking about getting old today.
Aging. And is it graceful? Do we age gracefully, or is it terrifying? So I think it's a mixture of both, based on what I'm going to be talking about today. I think it's a mixture of both and how we look at it. So let's climb in and have a look about this, because we all age. Can you believe it? I mean, this is a big thing, and you heard it first on Zone Radio. We all age. Even you.
Okay.
With that long hair of yours. Mm. But anyway, they're trying to be a young person, but the increase in number of older people is worldwide at the moment, and because people are living longer, life expectancy is longer, and medical is better, we have an exceptional amount of over 65 people. Now, I'm not going to only talk about 65-year-olds today. I'm going to talk about everybody from, let's say, the age of 30. Okay, let's say we're all aging, of course, till 20, 25, but at the age of 30, mindset starts changing. So we're going to talk about that today. Mm-hmm. And successful aging is actually multidimensional and includes the level of psychological strength. Welcome to radio. Physical and social, and of course, well-being, just general well-being in your head. And the field of geropsychology, can you believe it? It is Wednesday, and it's become a very, very specialized field. Yes. When you get older, and you can't, what did I say now? I can't remember.
I have no idea what you said.
I can't remember now.
I think you're making this stuff up, man.
Yeah, so it's kind of. I don't know what happened yesterday. But anyway, it's fine. So we need to understand and treat and improve mental health in older adults.
It's gero psychology.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
No.
That's what I mean. That's what I promised I did. I can't remember what I promised, but I did.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right. So older adults are enjoying good mental health at the moment, but it's anticipated that the number of older adults with mental and behavioral health problems will almost quadruple by the year 2030.
Yeah, it's an interesting statistic there, eh?
It is. And mental health disorders, physical health, ability to function becomes a problem. It can result in later life, can result in depression and anxiety. And, you know, it's normal, but coping with mental health and physical health problems, caring for a spouse perhaps, or dementia, or, you know, physical disability, grieving a death of a loved one. These are all things I'm going to be talking about now, because these are all things that get inflicted on people that are older. Maybe not, you know, everybody can lose people, but at 65 or 70, you're starting to lose your partner, your life
partner,
your friends, your animals, your of stuff. So it gets a bit hectic, and approximately 15% of adults aged 60 and over suffer from a mental disorder. That's quite a high number. So 15 out of 100 people will suffer from that. And there's actually a name for it, but we'll get to that later.
But you probably can't pronounce it.
I can't remember. Or pronounce it. Yeah, no, it's not today. I must stop drinking before I do the show. Okay, so what causes problems? Is it poor adjustment to role changes? I mean, there's a thing, a poor adjustment to lifestyle changes. Family relationship problems. Older people can't sometimes handle that. Grief, low self-esteem, anxiety, and depression. These things all set in, and you also find aggressive behavior. As the people get older, you would know, you get more and more aggressive although you've been aggressive, you know, for many years. I've known you for more than 35. So, but I've known you. And older people like you experience the same life stresses as common people do, but the additional stress in the form of significant ongoing losses of capability and declining in functional ability and that kind of stuff. I mean, even at in the insurance industry, you've got a special rating over 65, and they, you know, if you have a falling disability, or they check for falling and that kind of stuff. So lots of mobility things, chronic pain, diabetes, heart problem, hearing loss perhaps as well, osteoarthritis and other health problems, all requiring some sort of long-term care. These are all things that trigger in and come in when you get older as well. And also, in addition, older people are more likely to experience events such as bereavement, loss of a partner, as we said, or an animal, or a drop in socioeconomic status within the retirement space. So you were an accountant or an auditor, you had your own firm, you all of a sudden you retire, and now 2 years gone, and perhaps you're not the big macha anymore. Mm. You know, you now change that. And it can result in isolation and loneliness when you get older as well, you know, with your losses. And then psychological distress in older people as well. So mental health has an impact on physical health, of course, and vice versa. And then, of course, heart conditions. Heart disease comes in, especially for men. There's a high degree of depression there for those who were healthy, had a heart attack, and now they're on statins, and now they're on medication, and they're taking like a whole bag of pills every day now to keep them healthy, and they go into depression. So, you know, we need to be empathetic towards these older people. And then they're also up for elder abuse. Now, there is abuse. That's another program. But there's a thing called elder abuse. Mm. And we've kind of seen it on Carte Blanche, where the older people get hurt and stuff like that. But there's more to it. You want to say?
No. I'm just thinking that when elder abuse is something that I get very angry about.
Yeah.
I get very angry about the fact that somebody is essentially defenseless. And sometimes in a state where, you know, once a person starts to get older, they start to say things to you, and very often you, I'm talking from my own experience here, not about elder abuse, but from the point of view, my dad was 93 when he passed away. Yeah. And by 93, he'd lost everybody except his children, basically. Yeah. All his friends had passed away, most of the people, you know, one sister left, and that was it. And so he watched people die all along the way, and every time it happened, I think it made him have to deal with his own mortality.
Sure.
But then he would say things to me about how my sister was making him do certain things. And I would kind of think to myself, Dad, you know what? My sister's a nursing sister. She knows what she's doing. And these things were not – he was not happy to do these things, okay? And then he would complain to me. And I would brush it aside, and I would say, Dad – you know, wind your neck in, you know what I mean? Right. However, that was in our situation. However, that also happens. Remember, my mom was in this field, big time in this field. Very, very often what would happen is people go into a facility. Older person, you put your mom or your dad into a facility. Now you go and visit, and they say to you, you know what, the nurse is hitting me.
Yeah.
And you look at it, and you think to yourself, come on, you know, you...
Ridiculous.
You know, yeah, don't be silly. This is a top note. And we don't believe them.
Yeah.
And we put down what they're saying to some kind of fantasy or dementia or whatever. You can't get the facts from them because you can't really remember the details. And that's elder abuse can spiral out of control so easily.
Yeah. Sure.
So easily.
Sure.
That my advice is if an older person is in a facility, care facility, or an older person is staying, say, with the brother. Okay, and the brother is, you know, abusing the mom or the dad, and the sister goes to visit. Take what that old person says to you seriously.
But I'm going to add to that.
Brother,
I'm going to add to that a little bit. It goes to younger kids as well that are being abused. By the way,
yes, that's also true.
Listen to them.
Yes,
you know. But yes, I agree with
but
you.
But here
you
must listen. Here we start to write things off as. The mind's going, yes. And you know, they're imagining things. Listen, just do yourself a favor. I would rather have a fight, okay? I would rather have had a fight with my sister, who I love dearly, I worship the ground she walks on, than disbelieve my father.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because that's how my mother taught us.
Yeah.
It turns out that in most cases he was exaggerating and he was trying to get
attention.
I would rather discuss that with my sister.
Yeah.
Then have it as not, there was no chance of my sister abusing my father. But I'm talking about circumstances where that could apply.
No, that does apply, and it's very real.
I would rather have the confrontation at the risk of maybe tarnishing the relationship between siblings or a facility than not take what the, even if it turns out to be garbage. You've got to take it serious. Otherwise, that abuse thing, it's a big thing for me, a massive thing for me.
Because what happens if it is?
That's the thing. And then you don't forgive yourself for not taking them seriously. And by the time that happens, the damage is done. Sorry, I know we're dwelling on this a little bit.
But it's a very important part of it.
And all of us are going to go towards that age where we are no longer self-sufficient. My father was a strapping 6'4" man who I wouldn't have lifted a hand to, okay? Deep into his 80s, okay, because he would have just flattened me.
Yeah.
And he got to a point where he was literally dependent on everybody around him.
Yeah, sure.
We all go in that direction. Mm. That's how the cycle of life is.
Yeah.
You know, our bodies are going to pack up on us.
Yeah.
And then you get into a situation where you're dependent on somebody and that somebody is either like, you know, that kind of elder abuse
Well, that's the physical abuse, but there's verbal and there's psychological, there's financial abuse, there's sexual abuse, all of the stuff. Abandonment and neglect is another kind of abuse as well.
All of that.
And then serious losses of dignity and respect.
Yes.
And you know, Richard, current evidence suggests that one in six older people experience elder abuse. One in six. So it's a very real thing.
Okay. Very, very real thing.
So it is.
And sometimes it's born out of frustration of a child. So if you're dealing with dementia, go and get some expert advice on how to deal with it.
Very important.
How to deal with it. Because not all of us understand. I read an incredibly good book on how to deal with dementia. Sorry that I'm doing the talking. And you need to understand, have a handle on how to deal with it. Because otherwise, you will end up frustrated, and that's when the abuse comes in. Out of frustration, a loving daughter could become like a raving lunatic.
Angry.
Because they just don't understand. They don't get it. For them, everything is perfect. Everything is right. Okay? And the fact that you put the cereal bowl down there, and now that's no longer the right place to put it, and there's a temper tantrum from an older person because of that. You need to understand the dynamics behind that. And we don't.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's once again, it's an important thing. And if you're trying to help somebody with dementia, you know, don't try and do it on your own.
No.
You know, you need professional help here.
Mm.
And a lot of people say, well, you know, I got to look after my dad, look after my mom. I've got a bit of dementia kicking in and it's a little bit crazy at home. You cannot look after that person because you are not trained. Unless you are trained professional, you don't understand as well. And it affects dementia, common mental and neurological disorders, affect approximately 5 to 7% of the world's older population.
Mm.
So it's a huge percentage, and it can cause huge distress and leads to impaired functioning in daily life, of course. And dementia is an umbrella term used for signs and symptoms characterized by a generalized and irredeemable impaired of intellect. So they do weird things. And memory loss and all that. And it's very sad to actually see someone you love so dearly, was amazing, go into dementia. It is a very, very frightening thing to watch.
Yeah.
So that's it. So it's estimated that 50 million, Richard, globally live with dementia. 50 million globally. And it's going to increase to 82 million in 2030. And then to 152 million in 2050, people afflicted with dementia. So it is a very real thing, this thing. Okay.
Mm.
And then older people also suffer from bereavement, as we said. It's called prolonged grief disorder, PGD. And it's when they miss somebody that's been deceased for, you know, they miss them for longer than 6 months, haven't really got through it. And so it becomes a mental problem. Disability is an issue, stroke and a heart attack a very good friend of mine, had a, you know, very dynamic guy, retired and very active and very, the brain's still there, and he has a heart attack. Now, all of a sudden, a little bit more scared, a little bit depressed, and this great oak, you know, he's not so great anymore. So he needs, he can sit a bit and watch TV rather than go maybe for a walk or something like that. So, you know, it's important. And it's important that older people, being active is important, and also that they have physiotherapy and care about their body and their muscles and all of that stuff. And when we're going to the to-do list for your longevity, so we'll go off the older thing now, but I'll go on to that.
Just before we go on to that, there's a comment that's coming. Yes. It says, professional help comes at a private cost. No. I doubt anyone will get this support from a government institution. As much as I agree with that statement, I don't think it's entirely true, okay, because there are other people that have been through this that can help. They don't necessarily – I'm not saying you need to go and get professional help. You can speak to somebody who's just – maybe buried their parent and been through that experience. I think that kind of help, if you've got a good network of people around you, there are going to be people that can assist. It doesn't necessarily mean, I'm not saying you need to go and get special training or anything like that. I'm just saying that you can read a book.
Yeah, but what we always say on the show is that if you do need it, go and try and find somebody that can help you, that's professional. It may be a last resort, or it may be something you're tearing your hair out. Phone a social worker and say, listen, help me here, because I don't know what to do. Is there any government help? Is there anything on my medical aid that can help you here with that kind of
thing? Just a book on it. That book that I read about 4 years ago on dementia gave me a hell of an insight into the things that one should or shouldn't be doing. And it was a book that I bought in sort of secondhand store for, I think, $20. So this doesn't have to be a costly thing. It can be. Yeah. I agree fully there.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Let's carry on.
All right. So let's look. As we said, we're all growing old. And, you know, even your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, what do we do to keep us alive, healthy, well, and aging gracefully in how we should be aging? So I did some research, and I found some research by a Dr. Mark Steibich. And this was dated in January the 30th, 2024. So it's right up to date. And it was medically reviewed by Andrew Goll, who is a doctor as well. So these are all things. And the secret to aging lies more gracefully in the healthy habits you adopt. So let's have a look at some of the healthy habits you need to do. Okay. And obviously, this is brilliant, because I try to look at stuff if you're 70 and 80 years old. And then I looked at stuff when you were 30 and 40 years old, and exactly the same. Okay. Mm. Okay. So maintain a proper weight. Very important. Mm. Okay. Now we've got people that are overweight and not wanting to do the work to get it right. So weight loss is obviously easier in your 30s than it is in your 60s and 70s. But, you know, that's important. Prioritize exercise. Exercise is good for your stress. It improves your sleep, your skin tone, your bone health, and your mood as well. So recommended 2.5 to 5 hours per week, 2.5 hours of moderate intense exercise. Don't have to be an aerobics instructor or instructress. You can just do something. And then some weights for your bone density, for the muscle as well. So walking, swimming, dancing, cycling. And if you can't dance, you know, dance on your own. It's don't take videos or go near a mirror, but dance on your own. Learn to sleep. We've spoken about this so often. It comes up so often in all our stuff. Learn to sleep. A good sleep is, you know, you should have at least, adult over 18 should have at least 7 to 8 hours sleep a night to regenerate the body every night. And it's been proven to lower the risk of heart disease and stroke. Reduce stress and depression, of course, and lower the risk of obesity, reduce inflammation, and improve focus and concentration. So sleep is a vital healthy habit. And if you're not sleeping properly, and there are sleep clinics, and there are, you know, some people really have problem with sleeping. Mm. They have insomnia, they can't sleep. You know, I don't believe in tablets, but if you need a tablet to sleep, you know, you take it, because maybe it's a natural tablet or something, but just take it because you need to sleep. Find a relaxation practice. You know, you might want to do yoga or listen to some meditation. Take care of your skin. These are all things that you need to do from the age of 30, 20 even, 30 onwards. Take care of your skin. Wear protective sunscreen. Get your skin cancer checks, especially in our climate. Stick to gentle products and anti-aging care routine. Even the males. Guys, you know, you're not a girl if you're going to have a facial or you have some treatment on your face, or, you know, that's good for your anti-aging. Stay hydrated, very important as well. Also, the vegetables and watch your diet. They talk about drinking lots of water. Now, water is a thing we spoke about before, that I never drank water. And all of a sudden, my cells were starting to dry out, and therefore, you know, didn't absorb the zinc and all that. So it's very important to be hydrated. At least 4 to 6 cups of water a day, at least. And some people will say 2 liters, depends on your weight, and you can have a look on the internet to see what's important. But water is vital. And when I told people I never drank water, I started drinking water only about 6 months ago, they said, "You never, but water's life." And I said, "Well, I never drank. I thought I was getting it in coffee and tea, but it's not the same. It's not the same." And start screening and testing yourself. I know that one of the insurance companies has a program, and they give you rewards if you go and test yourself for your cholesterol and your diabetes and your bloods and your weight and all that kind of stuff. Very important as well. Master your time. They even say that in your 30s as well. Be careful of time management. It can make you feel relaxed when you have your time organized and you know exactly. If you're running like a chicken without a head from client to client or from business person or all over the country, it can make you very old very, very quickly. So time management is a very important part of reducing your stress. Also, quit smoking and reduce alcohol intake. Now, I say men should have 2 drinks a day. That's maximum. And the ladies won. So you can have it. It's all about balance. It's all about balance. But quitting smoking, they have proven in research that it causes wrinkles and aging. And you'll look at somebody that has smoked in their life and look at somebody who hasn't smoked in their life, and generally you'll find they look better. Take care of your teeth. Very important. As you get older, your gum recedes and your teeth are vital, because they promote good health, especially with, they've shown that bad dental hygiene can lead to heart disease. So you need to worry about that as well. Mental health, being happy is a most important thing in your life. We've spoken about this so often, you know, so spend time with your friends and your loved ones, and spend time having good relationships with people. You know, accept your age. I don't know about you, Richard, but I hit 60, and it was a bit of a shock for me. It came on the side of the head on a Tuesday, and 60 wasn't great. All of a sudden, clicks and discom sending me SMS to say, "Pensioners Day on Wednesday, you can come in and get discount." And I thought, no, I don't want to go on a pension. I'm not a pensioner. I'm 60. I'm feeling great. But 60 was hectic. And some people, 40. I've spoken to some ladies. They said 40. Now, 40 was the year that I thought, oh my goodness, I'm out of my 20s. My body's not looking great anymore, as great as it did. I'm 40 now. Oh my word. Meanwhile, you've got your whole life ahead of you. So accept your age. It is important to do things you enjoy. Do things you enjoy. Spend time with your mates. Spend time with nature. Spend time with your animals. Pursue a new hobby. You know, if you retire one day and you don't have a hobby, you can get old very, very quickly. Mm. So volunteer and do things that bring you joy. And it doesn't mean drinking excess amounts of alcohol or doing anything over the top. But whatever brings you joy, do that thing. Maintain your friendships. And I know it's very, very easy. I spoke to my son yesterday and was saying we're going to talk about aging today. He's just turned 32, I think it was. And he said, yeah, you know, 20, somebody phoned you, let's go out. You went out, you didn't ask where you were going, and you didn't worry when you were coming back. But he said, at 34, I'm worried, 32, I'm worried what time we're coming home, how are we getting there, where are we going? So things do change. And, it, you know, having mates, it increases your immune system. And having friends and good relationships can do this for you. So, maintain those friendships and make time to talk on the phone, get together, and go on that trip. Don't say no. Somebody says come for a bri, go. Although in Cape Town, it doesn't always mean they mean come for a bri.
No.
Lower your stress. Very important. Find a place to lower your stress. It takes away the heart disease problem. And there are a number of ways to relieve stress. So your relaxation techniques, meditation, breathing, yoga, exercising, getting adequate sleep again, and talking to a friend. Just going for a mate and having a chat. Also, know your health history. Know your family history. It's very difficult for some, like people like me. I don't know. My grandparents were both killed in the war, and one set in Auschwitz and the other set in the war. So I have no idea of my health history, my family history, but I know mine, and that's important. So balance home and work. Even if you're in your 30s and 40s, you're in that where you're pushing your career. You know, the highest suicide rate is in the 30s and 45 mark. And the guys, why? And people say, why is that? And well, because of the stress. You've got kids, and you've got a bond, and you've got a house, and you've got marriage, and you've got all kinds of things going on in your work and your bosses. And it's important to have balance. So say to yourself, are things in balance for me? Am I working myself to a standstill? Am I enjoying it? Am I in positive stress or negative stress? Do things need to be changed? Do I have to change? Do I have to make any little changes? And do it, because it's an important question to ask yourself. And how can I reduce my stress in life? It's very good to have stress, because it makes you do things, but not negative stress. Find new hobbies. Find something that you really love doing. I know one of our radio colleagues is a lawyer, and he has he reads the news, I think, John, and he comes in. He said to me at one of our functions, he said, "I love being in the studio. This is a heavyweight legal mind," and he just loves sitting here and reading the news and playing music, you know, which is awesome. Practice mindfulness. There are people that do mindfulness training. So what it does, it improves your focus, it's better memory, probably need it, you know, especially. Lower stress, again, improved emotional reactions to things, relationship satisfaction, and increases your immune functioning. Now, I believe the strengthening of the immune system is the key to good health and not being sick and all of these things. So practice mindfulness, try meditation, yoga, tai chi, coloring in books, stay positive. Be proactive about stuff and maintain your social life. It's so easy to say, and I'm one of them, I've worked all week, I've seen people all week, I just want to chill out on a weekend. That's fine, that's balance, but don't be careful you don't become reclused. Get home, only work, get home, and you don't want to see anybody. That also is not healthy at all. So a couple of tips on being aging gracefully and living your best life over the age of 70. Focus on your relationships, aging and health. Human development has found that mixing with people is really good for your, making you feel youthful again. Being with your kids, the fluffy dog or the cat is really important. And the more socially connected you feel, the less lonely you are, and that also is good for your mental health. Do what you love. One of my friends, the same guy with an accountant, he does consulting now, and he said, "I'm just doing what I love." So that's fantastic. Prioritize your health. Don't let it slip. Prioritize your health. Control your stress and make it easy to achieve your goals. Don't set massive long-term goals. If you're 70 or 75, make short little wins in your life every day. And find a hobby. Don't retire and then sit in a chair and watch a cricket on TV. You can do that for 2 hours, but have a hobby, have somewhere where you can go, where you can talk to people or use your expertise as well and become meaningful to people, and that will make you age well. The mental fitness is very important. So just to summarize, get regular exercise, be sure to visit the doctor to do your checkups, sleep 7 to 9 hours a night, keep a positive mindset at most times. You can't be positive all the time, but most times. Stay connected to your loved ones as much as you can. Learn something new. Go and find a new thing to learn. Eat balanced and healthy meals. Stay away from the alcohols and all those kind of things as much as you can. Balance is good, but don't overdo it. Do what you love to do and prioritize both mental and physical health in balance as well. And enjoy the moment. Enjoy every day. Enjoy waking up, because you made it. You made it through another night. You made it. And so now we can just have a general chat before we close off, Richard, on this, because it's a very important subject.
It is a very important subject. I think what we've done here is we've broken it down to the fact that getting old isn't for sissies. We accept that. Okay. And we've spoke about all the things that are scary about it. But then you have to go back. You have to go back to 30s, because you're speaking to a group, a vast audience here, and you're speaking to people that are 30, 40, 50, and they may not be thinking, hang on, I'm, you know, I'm a long way from 65. The thing is, if you don't start doing those things now, yeah. Okay, you're going to end up at 65 and think, damn, it's like your retirement annuity. Mm. You know, if you didn't start it when you were 21.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oops.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. So it's that kind of investment now in the longer life. My father was a classic example of that. Super fit, always active, always doing what he loved. Great sportsman, always, and he lived to 93. Now, there may be longevity. His sister's well over 90. Most of his siblings, you know, were late 80s when they passed. So it may be in the genes, but I firmly believe that the fact that he was so active and he was so engaged is what took him to 93.
I agree.
And he was a hell of a guy. I mean, right up until 3 months before he died, he was still partying strong, you know what I mean? I think that early investment is very, very important.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean to say that if you get to a point like I am, and look, when I turn 60, I'll let you know how it is.
Oh, yes. Lying with a straight face. Actually, not straight, he's laughing.
The thing about it is this, that you'll get to a point that I faced the other day. So you get to a point where your heart says, how's it?
Yeah.
Now you've got to start making that readjustment that could have been made, and I'm wrapping myself on the knuckles here. There are a couple of things in my life that I would have changed. One is my eyesight. I would have taken a lot more care of my eyesight and dental.
Yeah.
Okay. The fact that my heart attack needed that, I think, is more a genetic thing than it is a lifestyle thing. But there probably were things that I could have done that could maybe have changed that outcome. Fortunately, it turned out okay. But now you've got to make those adjustments. So I think it's very, very important that you have a look at it. It's like that annual financial checkup that Paul spoke about the other day. You need to do that on an annual basis, maybe biannual basis, with your health and your approach to getting older. What does Jan say? Yeah, getting older is a privilege, and every year has a story. Embrace it. I agree. And that's the mental aspect that we're talking about. Anyway.
Not many people get to an older age, so we
yeah,
have a bridge.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so
it is.
And once again, you're bulletproof when you're 30. Your 20s, you're bulletproof.
Yeah.
And invest in yourself, look after yourself, take some time to look in the mirror and look at yourself and say, what do I need to change, what do I need to do? Because retirement is way over there
until it's on your doorstep.
Until it's right here, and it's like, you know what? It's like a toilet roll. I'm going to leave it with us. You know, the longer, the sooner it gets to the end, the quicker it goes. So you got to be very, very careful what you do.
All right. Anyway, that comment came from Jan, who's just turned 60 today. So
happy birthday, Jan.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much. We ran on just a little bit, but that also is a factor of us starting a little late this afternoon. Thanks for your time. We'll chat again in 2 weeks' time, and we'll see you again on Monday.
Fantastic. Thanks, everybody.
Go home now. Go home.
Bye.